Well, a pleasant good morning to you, and welcome to Prove All Things. Prove All Things is brought to you by Christians assembling at 2291 Highway Z in Wentzville. Our meeting place is just 3 miles south of Interstate 70 on Z. Our meeting times are Sunday morning at 9:30, Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, and on Wednesday evening at 7:30. As the Apostle Paul commands us, we're striving to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. That is good according to God's word, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. This is the only way, friend, we can be assured that we are pleasing to God, if we do God's work God's way. This radio program is dedicated to urging you, our listening audience, to join with us in this Bible command to prove all things and to do God's work God's way. Our Bible text this morning has its setting in the Valley of Gerar in the land of Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Isaac is the principal character in the story. Father Abraham had previously been in this land, but Isaac, his son, did not find the land in as good a condition as when Abraham had left it. Genesis chapter 26, verse 15 states, "For all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. Isaac had large flocks and herds. They needed water. The solution to the problem determined by Isaac is recorded in Genesis 26, 18. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." Water is an essential element to life. Next to air, it's the most important element. In his conversation with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, Jesus compared his word with water, and he declared that whosoever drinketh of this water, referring to the water in Jacob's well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4, 13 and 14. According to Jesus, the living water of his word is just as essential to spiritual life as literal water is to physical life. Just as wells of literal water may be filled with rubbish and need to be dug again to reach the good water, spiritual wells may also become clogged with the rubbish of human traditions and human creeds and need to be redug in order to get to the living water, the water of God's word. This morning, friend, I want to study with you the importance of redigging old wells, not literal wells, but wells of truth that have been clogged by the doctrines of men. This is a very serious matter, for Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men," Matthew 15, verse 9. We cannot teach and practice the commandments of men and be pleasing to God. The wells of God's eternal truth began to be clogged even before the death of the apostles. Judaizing teachers who had not learned the difference between the law of Moses and the gospel of Christ began to clog the wells with Judaism almost as soon as the church had been established. Much of the labor of the apostles was in digging this false matter out of the wells of truth. To Judaizers in Galatia, Paul wrote, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." The disciples of Jesus soon broadened their field of service to regions beyond Judea. They began digging the wells of gospel truth in pagan communities. No sooner were the wells dug than they began to be filled with vain and perverted pagan philosophy. Much of Paul's work at Corinth was in removing the rubbish of heathen philosophy from the wells of truth. The seeds from which there later grew the great Roman hierarchy, which was to so clutter up the wells of truth they could hardly be recognized, those seeds began to be planted in the days of the Apostle Paul. To the church at Thessalonica, he said, for the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. And it continued to work until, instead of the simple New Testament church organization consisting of local congregations with their elders and deacons, there instead grew up a great hierarchy being ruled by the Pope of Rome and his massive system of cardinals, bishops, archbishops, and so on. The simple truths of New Testament teaching were almost completely covered and hidden from view by man-made commandments and man-made church doctrines. In the wells of eternal truth, baptism was a simple command of the gospel, leading to salvation from sin and admission into the kingdom of Christ. Jesus had commanded in the simplest of language, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, 15 and 16. Friend, it takes professional help to misunderstand such a simple statement. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter commanded the Jews who believe to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice that repentance and baptism are coupled together. They are inseparably connected. And until we repent and are baptized, we do not have the remission of sins. But human tradition so polluted these simple truths that baptism became a sacrament, along with several other so-called sacraments, which were administered only by the authority of the Catholic Church. According to the original well of truth, baptism was a burial and a resurrection, picturing the burial and resurrection of Christ, and suggesting the sinner's burial to the old life of sin and his resurrection to the new life in Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, verse 4, Paul wrote, "Therefore we have been buried with him," that is Jesus, "through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." But Philistine enemies of truth covered up this teaching, and in its place they substituted the practice of sprinkling a little water or pouring a little water on people in the name of baptism. In the beginning of the Christian age, believers were baptized according to Christ's command, Mark 16, 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But the clogging of the wells of truth, there was substituted the sprinkling or pouring of a little water on babies not old enough to believe or understand anything about Jesus or Christianity and incapable of making their own choices. In the beginning of the Christian dispensation, the Lord's Supper was a simple commemorative service to be observed in memory of the death of Christ, the bread representing his body and the fruit of the vine picturing his blood, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. This simple truth was soon hidden by the rubbish of human teaching, and in its place men saw a holy sacrament in which, according to the doctrine of transubstantiation, the bread, being blessed by church authority, became the actual literal body of Jesus, and the wine being made into become the actual blood of Jesus. During the great apostasy from truth, the simple Bible teaching of confessing our faults to one another and praying for one another was lost in the rubbish of confession of sins before one who claimed to stand in the place of Christ. And the doctrine of absolution, which claimed for a mere man the power to forgive sin, was placed in the stead of Christ. The simple New Testament teaching concerning heaven and hell was lost in the rubbish of man-made purgatory. For the simple singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which constituted the music of the New Testament church, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, there was substituted the playing on mechanical instruments of all kinds. In the place of simple Christian life of New Testament times, there came to be practiced much of the moral filth and pollution permitted under the doctrine of indulgences. And for the evangelization of the New Testament church, under which all Christians were charged with the responsibility of carrying the gospel to the whole world, and under which all Christians were equal before God, there was substituted orders and ranks with special distinction between the clergy and the layman, and so the clergy-laity system grew up. The simple Christian lost his right to go directly to God through his high priest, Jesus Christ, and was taught that he could not approach God except through the priestly offices of the church. These are all doctrines and creeds of men. When such men as Ulrich Zwingli and Huss and Calvin and Luther came on the scene of religious activity, they found the wells of gospel truth almost entirely filled with human rubbish. The masses were unable to get to the spiritual water. They were forced to drink only the polluted and corrupted waters handed down to them in cups of human tradition. These men and others of the period, known as the Protestant Reformation, did a great deal to try and remove the rubbish from the wells of truth. However, it was not until the 18th century that men began to try to completely redig the wells of the apostles. A little more than a century ago, there rose a cry for not reformation, but restoration, a complete return to New Testament teaching. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, "If any man speak, let him speak only as the oracles of God." And so an effort to speak as the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Preachers of this simple message traversed the length and the breadth of the land, digging away at sectarian rubbish and exposing denominational doctrines little by little so that people could get to the pure waters of New Testament teaching. Whole churches responded to this call to the old paths, seeking the old paths where the good way is. Thousands accepted the truth, and simple Christianity began once again throughout the land. And for a period of about 50 years, this movement experienced the greatest growth of any religious movement since the first century. Friend, every generation and every human being in that generation must learn and apply that restoration principle. We must not seek to be like the previous generation or generations, no matter how religious they may have been. Even though it may be mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, brother or sister, no matter how religious, no matter how good their life may have been, we must seek the old paths for ourselves. We must study the scriptures and for ourselves prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Our standard is the first century church as revealed in the New Testament. And we need to look for those things that God approves in His Word, the commands, the approved examples of the apostles and prophets and early Christians, and the necessary implications that God is obviously pleased with. And just like those Christians in the first century, we should refuse to recognize any authority but the authority of Christ. Jesus is the true head of the church, 1 Corinthians 3:11 and Matthew 16 and verse 18. We must refuse to accept any creed except faith in Christ and His Word. Colossians 3:17, Paul said, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord," that is, only in meeting with the approval of Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, John says, "By this we know we've come to know Him if we keep His commandments." Friend, are you truly keeping the commandments of God? There's only one way to know, and that is by reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God. Today we join with the Apostle Peter in urging men to speak only as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4:11. Only when men drink from the pure waters of the spiritual wells of the New Testament can we truly know we're pleasing to God. Any other fountain is of men and cannot save. And so today we plead with you to work fervently at the task of redigging the wells of gospel truth, clearing out the error of human creeds and tradition. And when you do this, you too will find the living water from which if you drink, you'll never thirst again. If you'd like a free copy of the lesson this morning, simply write us at Know Your Bible, 2291 Highway Z, Wentzville, Missouri, 63385. Until next week, this is Dempsey Collins urging everyone to prove all things.